Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, most of us are very familiar with the phrase Christian education, but how many Christians really understand what Christian education is all about? Now, perhaps many think that Christian education is what is taught in Sunday school or vacation Bible school down at the church, and others may think that Christian education refers to what takes place in a Christian school or college or even a seminary. But from the biblical perspective, what is Christian education and who is responsible for it within the body of Christ? Well, today in Stand in the Gap, we are going to discuss with two experts what Christian education is all about and who is responsible to see that Christian education is accomplished. Well, I'm Gary Dahl, and it's a delight to have you there by the radio or the computer today, however you may be listening. Thank you for joining in on today's edition of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. Sam and Dave are still off, and so my co-host is Dr. Keith Wiebe, who has been on our program numerous times in the past. Keith not only served in pastoral ministry for 50 years, but is an expert in Christian education. And along with Keith, we have as a first-time guest Dr. Jeff Walton, who is the executive director of the American Association of Christian Schools. And we're going to bring him in just a few moments. But before we go any further, yesterday, just before we went on the air with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, we found that his son, Jimmy Jr., actually fell off of a two-story building while putting on a new roof. And we asked you to pray for him. I just want to give you a bit of an update right now. Jimmy Jr. is in intensive care down in San Antonio, Texas. He is in serious but stable condition. They are thankful that he has no paralysis, but does have internal bleeding that, if it does not stop, they're going to have to do some surgery. He has no broken bones but two broken teeth, and yet he's in a lot of pain. The doctor said that the hard hat that he wore actually saved his life. So Jimmy DeYoung Jr., not the one you hear on the program here, but Jimmy's son, needs a lot of prayer for his recovery, and I would encourage you to be praying for him. Thank you very much. Well, Keith Wiebe, it's great to have you back on Stand in the Gap today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Gary. Always good to be back.
And I'm wondering if you might introduce Dr. Walton to our audience, please.
I'd be pleased to do that. Dr. Walton is really the expert we're going to bring to this microphone today on Christian education. I have been a practitioner and an advocate and champion of Christian education for many years, trying to just very concisely define what it is gets to be difficult, but Jeff will help us with that. Jeff Walton has devoted his life to Christian education. He has served as a teacher in a Christian school administrator for a number of years. He served as the executive director of the Old Dominion Association of Church Schools in Virginia, an affiliate of the AACS. He served in the administration of Virginia Baptist College and has now for the last several years been the executive director of the American Association of Christian Schools, a dear friend that I treasure highly and one whose ministry I greatly appreciate. Jeff, I want to welcome you to this broadcast and just get right into what we're going to be talking about. Take a minute, if you would, and share with our listeners just what the American Association of Christian Schools is all about.
And Gary, it's good to be with you, and I appreciate the opportunity. The American Association of Christian Schools is made up of 39 state associations. We represent about 750 schools in 47 states and a number of foreign countries. The mission of the AACS is as a service organization to provide legislative oversight, to promote high-quality Christian educational programs, to encourage the production of Christ-like young people, and to provide related institutional and personnel services to our constituents, which are state associations and their member schools. In support of those, we have an office in Washington, D.C., and a staff there. We have an office in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and a staff here. And our purpose is to serve Christian schools and the state associations who are our members.
Well, Jeff, we are delighted to have you with us today. And before we go any further, Keith, I'm wondering if you would give our listeners a definition of Christian education. Give a good, solid, biblical definition of Christian education, because if we're going to be talking about that today, and we are, it's good for our people to understand what it's all about.
Yeah, that is really a good question, Gary. Christian education might be summed up in what is kind of the slogan for the AACS, educating for eternity. It also could be described as the process of educating children, young people, in such a way that they have a very good, solid education in the academic disciplines that are important, but they get that in the framework of a biblical worldview so that when they finish their education, they are equipped to live life in a Christ-like way. It's not just adding a Bible class to a school. It's not just adding a chapel service to a school. Those surely are important, but it's the principles of God's Word integrated into the teaching of every academic discipline.
You know, I think that's a great definition. And Jeff, a number of years ago, I had a father come into my study and say, "Pastor, if my daughter goes wrong, I'm going to place the blame on the church." Now, I'm wondering, before we dig further into Christian education and what it's all about, was that a fair statement for that father to give his pastor, Jeff?
Well, I certainly don't think that was a fair statement. Children are given in stewardship to parents, and churches are given a biblical responsibility to teach. But parents, churches, and Christian schools ought to partner in the education of children, and parents bear an ultimate responsibility, although certainly as a pastor, as a school leader, I would feel the weight of the failure of any child together with that parent. So, no, I don't think that's fair, but I'm sure that a pastor or a school leader would certainly feel the weight of a child's failure along with a parent.
And so it's important to recognize that in Christian education, the home and the school and the church really must work together. And ladies and gentlemen, as we go throughout the course of the program today, we are going to be talking about that. Because when we look at Christian education and doing what we can to instill a biblical worldview into the lives of the young people that God has given us, we realize that the home, the church, and the school must work together in concert. And that's what we want to talk about throughout the course of the day. Now, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to ask the question, is Christian education a viable form of education in the world of technology and development? And if so, why is it viable and why is it so important? So you'll not want to go away. Stay tuned. You might even want to call somebody and let them know that we are on the air right now. We're going to take a 4-minute break and then we will be back and continue our study on the importance of Christian education. Stay tuned.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today as we continue to discuss a very, very important subject, and that is Christian education with Keith Wiebe and Jeff Walton. But before we go into our discussion any further, please allow me to remind you of what we are doing here at Stand in the Gap for October, which, of course, as you know, is Pastor Appreciation Month. From today until next Tuesday, October the 31st, if you tag your pastor in a comment on the American Pastor Network Facebook and share with us what makes him special to you, we are going to then enter his name into a free drawing for 3 prizes. The first prize is a beautiful leather-bound edition of the Founders Bible, authored by David Barton of Wall Builders. This is an excellent Bible and has a lot of our history and patriotic emphasis within it. Every pastor needs one of these, and first prize gets that. The second prize is a 4-disc DVD of an American Pastors Network U-Turn Conference that includes messages from George Barna, Sammy Tippett, David Barton, and others, which will be a blessing to your pastor as well. And then the third prize is a message by Sam Rohr that he delivered last year at the Central Pennsylvania Bible Conference entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Culture. And that's on a CD, and it features 10 essential principles to rebuild the foundations of our nation. So go to the American Pastors Network Facebook and give a big shout-out for your pastor's service to the Lord. He may just win a special prize from the American Pastors Network. Well, during this segment of the program, we want to discuss the viability of Christian education in the world of technology and development. And I've often heard it said that the Christian school just is not able to keep up with educating children in these fast-paced computer days of technology and development. Is that so? Well, we're going to deal with that throughout the course of this particular segment of the program. But let's begin this segment by discussing the philosophy of Christian education. And so I want to go directly to you, Dr. Walton. What is the philosophy of Christian education particularly, and how is it taught in the Scriptures?
Gary, thank you for the question, and if you'll indulge me for a little longer response to this one, I want to talk about it as a foundational idea. If you get this wrong, then everything that follows is wrong. And when I discuss the philosophy of Christian education in conferences, we talk about 11 fundamental questions. What is ultimate authority? What is the nature of truth? Who has the ownership of children? What is the nature of children? What is the nature of education? Who is responsible for educating? What should the children learn? How should the classroom be structured? What is the role of the teacher? How should students be motivated? What methods should be used? And if you can't frame a biblical response for each of those foundational questions, then you can't genuinely claim to be doing Christian education. If I could summarize those responses, it would be this. Christian education is the transformation of a child, Romans 12:2, who is owned by God, Ezekiel 18:4, and given in stewardship to parents, Ephesians 6:4. It's the transformation of the child spiritually, intellectually, physically, and socially, Luke 2:52, into a yielded and fully equipped servant of our majestic God, Romans 12:1 and Matthew 20. The Christian school is a tool or an instrument that parents and churches, the two agencies that are given a biblical command to teach children, partner with to fulfill their God-given responsibilities. I want to stress just real briefly in wrapping this piece up that parents and churches have God-given responsibilities for the education of children. I did an interesting study several years ago on the word teach in the King James Version of our Bible. The word is used 109 times. Parents are told to teach spiritual truth to their children 4 times. God teaches or Christ teaches 42 times. A spiritual leader, a pastor, a priest, or a prophet is told to teach 33 times. So children are absolutely given in stewardship to parents. Parents have the primary responsibility to direct the education of their children, but the church is also given an important mandate. We're ignoring a lot of scripture if we determine that teaching children is only or exclusively a parent's responsibility, and that is one of those fundamentals of a philosophy of Christian education.
You know, before Keith asked you a question, and I know he has one up his sleeve there, let me just ask you, Jeff, that philosophy of Christian education that you just shared with our audience, is it up on the website somewhere so they can pick it up? I know it's going to be hard for them to be able to remember all of that.
No, it's not, but if somebody has an interest, I would be glad to respond to an email.
And how can they get in touch with you?
Info@aacs.org would be directed to me.
Okay, info@aacs.org. That's great. And so, ladies and gentlemen, get in touch with Jeff. He will explain that to you in further detail. It was greatly done. Keith?
Yeah, Jeff, thanks. That was greatly done. You know, there are several questions that come to mind, but one that I want to make sure that we get to. You've given us a very concise definition of philosophy of Christian education, why it's important. But I have often been told by people that sending a child to a Christian school is just sheltering him or her from the world around us, that it's a hothouse kind of environment and doesn't really prepare them for the world. Is that true? How do you respond to that?
I love that question. And the reason that I love that question is that the answer, I think, is so apparent in the scripture. Christian schools do protect children from ungodly philosophy, shield them from wrong thinking, and Christian parents are commanded to do that. There are some that argue that the environment of a Christian school is too protective, it's a greenhouse, and they argue then that children will be strengthened by placing them in the real world, in an environment where they're exposed to thinking and social experiences that conflict with what their home and their church teach them. And my answer to that is protecting children is the responsibility of parents. It is my obligation. I do a little gardening. When is a plant deliberately placed in a hostile environment? And the answer is, well, really never. But if we're going to subject the plant to adverse conditions, We wait until it has a sound root structure and a solid stock. We start it in a greenhouse. Of course, I've got a responsibility to teach my children to be strong, to stand up for their beliefs, but I've done my best to keep my two kids in the greenhouse until they develop strong roots and a healthy stock, and I actually think that's after a Christian college experience. Nowhere does Scripture tell us that secular training will strengthen Christian children. I challenge anyone to show me that Scripture. Instead, Scripture tells us, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Personally, that's my number one reason for putting my kids in Christian school. Yes, the Christian school is a greenhouse. That's where young plants belong.
Jeff, we have about 2 minutes for this particular segment yet left, and I appreciate that answer that you shared. In addition with training children upon the good solid philosophy of Christian and biblical education, does Christian education maintain the credible standards needed today to the point of being able to prepare students for higher education or vocational life? I ask that because many times I've had parents say to me, I don't know the Christian school in my community has the credible standards needed. What say you about that, Jeff?
I would say that generally speaking, and maybe almost universally speaking, Christian schools are doing the job. They are viable. They are preparing kids for further education, for career choices. There are a few exceptions to that, and parents need to be wise about evaluating the schools that they consider. Some overall evidence, the American Association of Christian Schools does a standardized testing program. We use the Iowa assessments. 510 of our schools tested in that program last year, and average student scores were at about the 70th percentile, meaning they scored higher than 70% of students in the country. That's pretty strong evidence that Christian schools are on the whole doing a good job of preparing students academically. I also visit a number of schools. SAT and ACT test scores are considerably above national averages, and at many of our schools, close to 100% of students are being accepted into colleges. So there are exceptions to that, but they're exceptions. And almost universally, Christian schools are doing a very good job of preparing students for further education and for career.
You know, it's interesting, Jeff, that you brought that out, because it has been my experience in dealing with Christian schools down through the years that in some locations, the standards and the outcome of the teaching of the Christian school in the community was higher than what was found there in the government school. And so that's good to bring out, and I'm glad that you did it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we'll continue our discussion on Christian education with Dr. Walton and Dr. Wiebe, and specifically focus on who Christian education is really for these days. So stay tuned. We will be back in about 3 minutes right after this break from our sponsors. Don't go away.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for staying with us on Stand in the Gap Today. I trust that our discussion on Christian education is both interesting and informative to you. And in this segment, we are going to be discussing the question, is Christian education for everyone? But before we do that, I just want to ask you if you have yet taken the opportunity to join us by text. Well, if you'd like to join our network, be alerted to upcoming events and promotions, or even receive more information about the American Pastors Network, simply text the word STAND, that is STAND, to 44144. That is STAND, STAND, to 44144. When you do that, you'll immediately receive a text reply asking for your email address. And once you reply with your email, you'll receive another immediate text reply with links to download our APN app from the Apple Store or from Google Play. Now, once you download and open the app, there's a sign-up option at the top where you can sign up to receive our weekly email updates. And by doing that, you'll be able to learn all sorts of good things from the American Pastors Network. So go ahead and text in STAND, S-T-A-N-D, at 44144. We would appreciate it, and I think you would benefit from it as well. Well, Dr. Walton, you heard the question, is Christian education good for everyone? So I'm going to ask you, is it? What's your answer to that question?
My answer to that question is a qualified yes. There's a lot of debate about this in Christian education, and it's mostly centered on two issues. The first of those is the evangelism discipleship issue. Should a Christian school focus on evangelism, which would mean it's for everyone, or on discipleship, which would mean it's limited somewhat to children who are believers? And my answer to that is, well, should the church be focused on evangelism or discipleship? And the answer is yes. In AACS, there are successful schools that take both approaches. But the most common and most often successful model is a more open enrollment evangelistic approach in lower elementary and elementary school, and then a more focused or exclusive focus on discipleship of Christian students in upper school. So, yes, it's for everyone. The second issue in that is usually a discussion about children with exceptional needs. And that's a difficult issue because kids with exceptional needs require exceptional resources, additional resources. But I fundamentally believe that we should be partnering with parents to meet the needs of these kids. We did so in the school that I was administrator of. In AACS, I see a growing number of schools finding the resources, developing their people professionally to meet the needs of kids with exceptional needs. In the AACS, we're doing summer professional development on serving kids with special needs, did a course this summer on serving kids with dyslexia, serving kids with reading difficulties. So not everyone would agree wholeheartedly with my positions on those, but yes, Christian education is for everyone, both an evangelistic and a discipleship effort, and meeting the needs of all kids, even those with exceptional needs.
Jeff, that is great. Now, a part of the Christian education scene is the homeschool movement. How does it fit in? We often have families in our churches that are involved in homeschooling for various reasons. How does it fit into the whole process of Christian education?
Parents are a child's first teachers. Children are given in stewardship to parents. The Christian school has authority only as delegated by parents and or a church. So homeschooling can be an effective way of doing Christian education. Most of our Christian schools partner with homeschool families in an umbrella program or a program that allows homeschool families to participate in some of the programs of the school. AACS rents office space and partners with HSLDA, Homeschool Legal Defense in Washington. And so as a form of Christian education, homeschooling, I think, is philosophically and biblically an option. I think in our churches, we ought to see homeschooling partnering with Christian schools for the education of children so that they're working together in an entire ministry.
Keith, explain what you mean by that the homeschooling partnering with the churches or schools in education. And the reason why I ask you that is just the other day I was talking to a family in the church that I pastor. They homeschool, and they say it's a very, very difficult thing to do, both from the perspective of the parents and the perspective of the students. So when you talk about partnership, please explain that a little bit more detailed to our audience, if you would, please.
Well, the homeschooling sometimes reaches a challenge with our young people They look more for some of the social interaction that they experience in a more traditional classroom, because education is more than just academic content. Education is learning how to live. It's learning how to apply God's principles and getting along with other people. Sometimes the parents are looking for extracurricular activities, and many times we're finding in AACS that many times a church and a school within that church can work together in partnership. So homeschool students maybe take a couple of classes as a part of the student body, then they can participate in some of the extracurricular activities, get some of the benefits of having other teachers that are having an influence on their life. So I think the partnership of it becomes very important, and particularly as students progress upward to the upper grades, parents find it more challenging to homeschool them than when they were just in the lower elementary grades. And they are also looking for, therefore, the kind of faculty help that can help them with the science and the upper level English and mathematics and some of those areas.
That's an excellent answer, Keith. Jeff, is there anything you'd like to add to that since you initially brought it up?
I think Keith has answered that well. The homeschool movement is sometimes seen as oppositional in some ways to Christian schooling. And that becomes a, you know, as Christian schools face declining enrollment in some cases, you know, those questions naturally arise. There are states where the number of students now homeschooling exceeds the number of students in private schools. So homeschooling is a continuing and very significant movement. It's really important that philosophically and biblically we understand that parents are a child's first teachers and children are given in stewardship to parents. There are real challenges with homeschooling, and Christian schools and churches ought to partner with parents in helping to meet some of those challenges. Just a note and a caution on those challenges, parents who choose to homeschool should evaluate whether the parents have the academic knowledge, the character, the discipline, and the commitment to homeschool. I regularly interview Christian school administrators who all say something like this: a fourth to a third of the homeschool students who transfer into their school are abysmally behind grade level, and that's indefensible. So we do support and partner with parents who homeschool, believe that churches ought to do so, but caution parents to make sure that they are committed and fit for the task they're taking on.
Jeff, I can hear some people saying, you know, we're not sending our children to Christian school or even homeschooling them because there simply isn't anything available where we live. So is sending that child to a public school a viable option? What about online kind of possibilities? Are those viable as an alternative with Christian education?
I would not presume the authority or the wisdom to answer that question for a parent. Children are given in stewardship to parents. Interesting quote from Elizabeth Stone, who said, "Making the decision to have a child is momentous. It is deciding forever to have your heart go walking around outside your body." And so I would say to that parent in that circumstance, you have to answer this question: how will I make sure my child receives a Christian education? Because that's not optional. Then if I choose a secular school, how will I make sure my child receives a Christian education? How will I meet the obligations of Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, and Ephesians 6, 4? Secular education is not a choice that I would make with a good conscience, but I don't presume to make that choice for other parents. I would explore, in those circumstances, some of the really good Christian online options, and personally, I might move or change jobs.
You know, that's an interesting thing. I often say to people, when you move to another location, make sure you find a good solid church with a good solid Christian school before you make that move. And so, Jeff, I appreciate you bringing that up. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of information right here that Jeff is bringing to you. If you have any questions to ask him, you can do so by sending him an email at info at aacs.org. That's info at aacs.org. Now, when we return after this break, we're going to talk about the pastor's role in Christian education and what process a family should go through in order to choose a Christian school. So don't go away. We will be back in 4 minutes.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not been able to listen to this entire program, I would encourage you to go to our website and listen to it again, because I think the information that we are presenting to you today is very, very significant. And I want to talk to you parents who are saying, well, we don't want to send our children to the Christian school because we can't afford to do it. I just want to say this, and I say this to my own personal congregation. You cannot afford not to send your child today to the Christian school if you want them to have a good, solid biblical worldview that goes along with and supports what you teach them at home and what your local church teaches them. And I found out that when you make the sacrifice and by faith say, we are going to send our children to Christian school, God always supplies the need. And I'm certain that there are many people all up and down the network today saying an amen to that. Well, Keith, right. I want to go to you as we begin this particular segment. You know, pastors are busy. You were a pastor for 50 years. You also conducted a Christian school, and you've been very heavily involved in Christian education. But let me ask it this way, as pastors are listening, I'm certain, what role do pastors play, or what role must pastors play in Christian education in their local churches?
Well, Gary, I think that pastors have to be the leaders and the champions for Christian education in their churches. They need to be understanding of their people, ministering to their people whose children are in government education, and they will even have people in their congregations who teach in public schools, as I did in the congregation that I pastored. But their emphasis and their championing, if I can use the term, needs to be toward Christian education to encourage parents to make certain that their children are being educated in a way that supports the values that they are trying to teach at home and the values that they are being taught in their church. So the pastors, if I sum it up, they're busy. I understand that. And as a general rule, I would advise a pastor not to attempt to administrate his own school. Some do it and some do it effectively. I didn't and I couldn't have. You need a good administrator, but he needs to support that school, day school, just like he would support his youth ministry, his missions ministry, his music ministry, the Sunday school. That needs to be as important to him as all the rest of them.
Good answer, Keith. And Jeff, I want to go to you and follow up with this. We're talking about the fact that Christian education is important in the home, the school, and the church. But how can the pastor bring those three components together in education so that the students, the children, might truly get the greatest value out of the Christian education that is needed? How can the pastor bring the home, the school, and the church together?
The pastor has to be the leader in creating a culture in the church that respects all of those groups. Practically, that involves coordinating activities and calendars and facilities, encouraging the school to work cooperatively with homeschool families in activities. Some of the upper-level classes are generally something that homeschool families might want to participate in. The pastor has to provide the leadership in creating the culture that lets those things happen in his church ministry.
Excellent. And I think, Keith, you and I both would say amen to that, would we not?
Well, we certainly would, Gary. Those are such critical things. And again, it goes along with he is the pastor of the entire church. He's a pastor of those areas that he feels strongly about. In my case, I felt very strongly about the Christian school. But I could not just devote ministry emphasis to the Christian school. I was also responsible to give pastoral leadership to the music and the missions and all of the other ministry areas in which the church was involved. So I think Jeff's right on target with this. Jeff, if a parent is looking at several Christian schools, I'm kind of skipping down my list of questions here that I was thinking about asking you. How can a parent evaluate the credentials and a quality of a Christian school? Maybe they have several options for where they would send their children. What should they be looking for to determine the quality of a school, the credentials of a school, to make sure that their children will get what they need?
I think that often people look first at the wrong things. The first thing that you need to look for in evaluating a school for your child is the people, the leadership, and the teachers, because relationships are the primary element for quality education and for discipleship, which is ultimately the goal of a Christian school. Secular educators recognize that. I've got an issue of Education Week on my desk right now, and here's a quote talking about kids who get engaged in schools and motivating reluctant learners, and they say, it's clear that relationships are the linchpin. That's true for education, but it's even more true in Christian education for discipleship. So number one, look at the people, interview, spend time, the teachers and the leadership. Number two, textbooks and other curriculum choices. It says something significant about the philosophy and the direction of that school when you look at the textbooks that they're choosing. Are they choosing textbooks and curriculum materials from Christian publishers? Are they not making that choice? It says something about philosophy and worldview. Ask for data about graduates, college choices, career and ministry choices, ACT and SAT scores. Profile the graduates of that school, because generally speaking, that's what the students in this school become. So ask for that data about graduates. Then down the line, ask about achievement test data. Are they doing the job academically? And finally, I would look at measures like accreditation and teacher certification. There are excellent schools that choose not to pursue those things. So it's not a first wicket. But somewhere down the line, that's also something you could examine, the accreditation status, teacher certification status, and then whether or not those are done by credible, recognized agencies. Mm.
Jeff Walton, that is excellent information, and I think that Keith would agree with me in saying that the information that you presented to our audience this afternoon or this evening when people are listening, whatever the time is in their location, has just been great information. And folks, if you have any questions further for Jeff Walton, who is the director of the, let me just say it right here, the American, go ahead and say it.
Christian School.
Yeah, the American Association of Christian Schools. Yeah, wanted to get it right there. You can contact him with email by going to info@aacs.org. That's info@aacs.org. Jeff, thank you so very, very much for being with us on the program today, and perhaps sometime in the near future, we would like to invite you back. Would you come, please?
I would love to. Gary, thank you for the opportunity.
And in a moment, Keith is going to pray specifically for administrators and Christian educators and pastors in churches. But before he does, I remind you that tomorrow Judge Roy Moore, who is running for the Senate in Alabama, will be with us. You'll want to be there. Keith, pray for us, please.
Sure will. Thank you, Father, for Christian education. Thank you for Dr. Walton and the group that he works with. We pray for those involved as teachers, as administrators, as pastors. We pray for parents as they make these choices. I pray, Lord, that you will enable us to genuinely educate these children for eternity. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, join us again in 23 hours for another edition of Stand in the Gap Today. God bless you all.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.